Mr. Greenberg, if you could lead us. Do we have any of our student reps here? No student reps. Okay.
Is that early?
No, it's late.
Okay.
Hey, do we have any board announcements? Because we haven't seen you people in such a long time.
I have nothing.
Anyone? Board announcements? Okay, well, superintendent.
Right. There's really nothing. I won't say nothing's going on, but our kids were so busy taking tests. Or not. I just want to thank the principals and the building administration and staff for really having a fairly smooth operation in dealing with all of the notifications from state ed about errors in the tests. And they met everything, and I think the kids were fine in the end. Of the session. I think we dealt with the on-time testing and the movement of kids from one place to the other fairly smoothly, and I want to thank them for their great planning and Jill for directing all of that. So that's about it.
Okay. So that'll bring us to our first report and discussion, the Elementary Specials Committee.
Good evening, everyone. I've asked Dr. Chen to join me as he co-chaired the six-day special committee with me. So we're kind of lighting up the screen here. So the committee met on three dates and was comprised of some administrators, some teachers, and parents. And I believe some of them are here today. Tonight, so thank you to the parents and the teachers who were part of the committee and the administrators. I don't know if there are many of them here, but. So the rationale for the committee. Over the past several years, there have been concerns related to the Mandarin offering. And most of these concerns have been expressed from the parental community. So as a result, I know you've heard of these concerns over the years through curriculum committees or the PTA Board of Ed meetings sessions. And then you asked us to kind of get the groups of people together to discuss this. So parents from the four elementary schools have had differing opinions with regard to this topic. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which, those same differing opinions came to the committee. So the charge was to explore what we called the sixth special for the 16-17 school year and what were some possibilities with regard to the use of that time. Our current special area offering, just to bring everybody up to speed, is in a six-day cycle, one session of music, one of art, one library, two sessions of PE, and Mandarin as part of the six-day cycle. So the overarching theme that came out of the meetings, and particularly our first session, was continued mixed feedback from the committee with regard to both positive and constructive criticism regarding the Mandarin instruction. And when I say mixed feedback, that came from the parents and from the administrators, you know, from what they've heard from parents over time, pretty much the teachers were pretty unified on the Mandarin instruction. But again, the committee was not, I guess, leaning one way or the other with regard to Mandarin. There's no stronger force at that point. One other thing that surfaced throughout the meeting was instructional technology, and that being a language in itself, particularly with an emphasis on grades 3 and 4. So what the committee did was we looked at several different options. Our first meeting was really to debrief and talk about the Mandarin curriculum. We talked about the offering in itself and how whether it's more of a cultural or language program and the expectations from that. And then we talked a little bit about some of the concerns with parents with regard to technology and from the teachers as well. So what we did was we looked at several different options that would encompass all of the items that we spoke about in our first meeting. So option number one was really to continue with the six-day specials. One of the overarching comments was that in order for students to be proficient in Chinese, that they would need the language offering more frequently. And I'm going to ask Dr. Chen to speak about that right now in the beginning of this presentation, because I think it will kind of blend through when we look at some of the different options.
So good evening. One of the things that we discussed at the curriculum, at this committee meeting, and also throughout with the teachers, is the frequency with which students have Chinese in the elementary program. And according to research, best practices, and our overarching professional organization, the American Council for Teaching of Foreign Languages, they recommend that at the elementary level, for students to show proficiency gains, they need to have the language 3 times a week, and for a total of 90 minutes of instruction per week. So ideally, it would be 30 minutes 3 times a week. Our program only currently runs once every 6 days, so it doesn't give our students the type of proficiency gains that best practices and research-based practices recommend. So the option one is actually exploring, again, 3 sessions of Chinese within a 6-day cycle. One, we would keep the 45-minute Chinese regular class that we have right now, but we would also add 2 push-ins during the school day, during the 6-day cycle. That's just one sample that we see up there. But they would actually have 20 minutes of Chinese in other during the other days.
So there was, just to clarify, there was a question that came up, would the push-in be during art, or in this case, phys ed? No, it would just be push into the classroom, hypothetically, on day 2 and day 4. So it's a standalone push-in within the classroom day. The other option, option 2, was similar, although we couldn't get the 90 minutes in this model. We added technology as the prep or the instructional use of the 6th day, and then we would do push-in 3 times a week, 20 minutes. Option 3, this was more focused on grades 3 and 4, so you'll see option 3 and 4, So option 3 looked at grade 3, and we looked at like twice a month keeping the 45-minute Chinese period and looking at some push-in, and twice a month doing tech as the instructional period as part of the once in the 6-day cycle, and continuing with just doing a little bit of Chinese on the other 2 push-ins for those 2 weeks. And then the same thing applied for grade 4. For grade 4. Again, I want to reiterate this option 3. Tech twice a month for 45 minutes, Chinese twice a month for 45 minutes, and then some push-in time twice a month for 2 20-minute sessions. A 6-day cycle, thanks. Option 4 was looking at our specials on a 5-day cycle. Cost prohibitive, pretty much. On a 6-day cycle, you get 30 periods. On a 5-day cycle, you get 25 periods. So option 5 was take option 1 and add a technology person like we did for Enrichment for All. and do some special lessons for that, for the instructional technology piece. Option six was leave Chinese the way it is for grades 1 and 2 and eliminate it for grades 3 and 4 and replace it with technology. Option seven was looking at a flex program. And, you know, Dr. Chan did some research about, you know, how those other offerings are within a flex or flex program. So actually, Dr. Chan, I'm going to ask you to explain options 7, 8, and 9.
Sure. So option 7 and option 8 are both flex options. And these are the programs where students actually have are not expected to make any type of proficiency gains when learning the language. It's just more of a cultural experience. So each year, as you can see in option 8, they take a different language in grades 1, 2, and 3. And we were able to incorporate technology into grade 4. So that was one model. A little bit more of a, you know, to take the cultural exploration to a deeper level, option 7, I'm going to backtrack a little bit, is actually just 2 languages, Chinese and Spanish, and we would do Chinese in grades 1 and 2 and Spanish in grades 3 and 4. Again, the purpose of that model, in addition, similar to option 8, would be not for students to make any proficiency gains in the language, but for students to make to really get to know the culture more so and have more of a cultural experience. Option 9 is a FLES program similar to the one that we have currently, but instead of having Chinese, we explored the possibility of doing Spanish throughout grades 1 through 4.
Just want to summarize. So these options really came out of the first day discussion of all the things that we could explore. So some topics that were brought up, again, was the technology. Some topics that were brought up were, why do we have to do Chinese? Can't we explore Spanish? So as a result, these different options were put together. Again, the frequency and the proficiency levels, looking at some of the push-in models, were the primary reason why we created these different models. Ultimately, I don't think anyone really loved any of these models. The teachers had some concerns with the 20-minute push-in periods, taking away from the instructional time. There wasn't a large population of people on the committee that wanted Spanish versus Mandarin instruction. Again, going into this committee, I want to reiterate that people were very divided, and that's how they really came to the table. So it was, I don't want to say a struggle, but, you know, we were trying to kind of give everybody a little of something that they wanted out of this. So when we looked at recommendations in the end at the third meeting, we looked at perhaps enhancing the current Mandarin offering by adding more purposeful or intentional integration of Chinese into the school culture. Rather than it being, if this is something that the district values, then how do we enhance it and make it part of the school community? So these were some of the things that were spoken about as ways to do that. For example, label items throughout the building in Mandarin. So the kids are learning their numbers, their letters. They're learning family and objects and things like that. Go ahead, Lionel.
Yeah, and at the same time, to address one of the points that was brought up by a parent in the committee, we would actually present both, you know, for example, a water fountain. We would actually present both the Chinese characters, so the students would actually start being exposed to seeing a written form of Chinese and start, you know, chipping away at developing literacy in that sense. But we would also do underneath it. We would also include the what we call the pinyin, which is the romanization of how you would say the word, so that students can make an instant connection and actually using it.
Host events related to Chinese throughout the year. Integrate the arts, so music and art, perhaps some music in the music class related to the Mandarin program. Art projects and things like that. Explore the creating a culture of the Chinese language throughout the building. Show that we value this. Go deeper instructionally. Try to tie this into other disciplines. For even example, the grade 3 social studies curriculum is world communities. China is one of the countries that they study. So how do we tie that into the studies and within the program. We talked about the signs around the building, creating a web page where parents could better understand what's being taught perhaps that week or that month. Exploring some online programs. We have many programs currently in the district, Math IXL, Castle Learning, you know, some of those are testing programs, but there's also ways that we can enhance by learning Chinese outside of school if kids wanted to practice what they're learning. Words of the week, incorporate those into the morning announcements. Perhaps even do a Rosetta Stone parent class where parents are learning the Chinese language. You know, we currently do that for parents of other languages to learn the English language. Again, it's just about a license. The principals talked about in the cafeteria, Chinese at lunch, provide some games and dialogue opportunities for the kids at certain tables. Again, school-based activities, a song of the month, some blogs, assemblies. You know, go back to the 20-minute boost. How would we fit this in? How do we try to create that language piece a little more frequently within the school day? And then, you know, some theme-based activities throughout the year. One of the other recommendations is to create opportunities for the elementary principals, the teachers of Mandarin, and the classroom teachers to collaborate ways to advance the Chinese in the elementary school. So these were ways that we just discussed that the committee came up with, but perhaps putting people together to really more purposefully and intentionally explore this, again, showing that we value this, and how do we communicate what we're doing in school to the families at home. The other piece that came out of the committee was the theme talking about instructional technology. As you saw that in many of the options, instructional technology was a focus for many of the committee members, teachers, parents, and administrators. I would say that was probably one of the unified pieces of this. And one of the ways, the recommendation was to add a 0.6 teacher to the current elementary STEAM position, which is a 0.4, to provide digital technology instruction to students in grades 3 and 4, which ultimately would make that position a 1.0. So let me explain that a little bit more clearly. Currently, we have a 0.4 math teacher, she happens to be certified in math, assigned to the elementary schools to work with the elementary teachers and students with regard to STEAM activities. So currently, right now, the teacher is delivering the Lego robotics curriculum for the elementary students, and she's moving from building to building, and there's about 6 lessons built into that Lego curriculum. Again, that's a 0.4 assignment, and we would look to round out that position, making the 0.6 to be instructional tech, but just for grades 3 and 4. We didn't want to neglect the students in grades 1 and 2, and there were many librarians there was a librarian that sat on the committee and the library coordinator Carolyn Sloan, who I think is here tonight, to really sit in and just kind of take in the feedback and see what are ways that the elementary librarians could incorporate the technology, keyboarding, and things like that in grades 1 and 2 and integrate more of like PowerPoints, Prezi's, learning the Chromebook, like I want to say, tabs on the keyboard before they go into fifth grade. So those were some of the things that were recommended. So no, they're not built into any of the options, but in the end, what were some of the ways that we could take all of those options that were discussed and really try to, I guess, get something for each of the constituent groups that were represented? Does anybody have any questions?
I just want to thank the committee for, you know, going over this. Obviously, it took a lot of thought and a lot of different angles. One of the things that I know we as a board, as a district, have discussed is that we don't see students taking Mandarin in the secondary levels. And so one of the things I think, Dr. Chan, you said was, studies demonstrate that if you're exposed to one and only one world language at a young age, you're less inclined to continue taking that. I was curious if that was part of the discussions and what the feedback was from the parents, the administrators, the teachers, just in that regard. Yeah.
So, yes, that did come up at our meetings, and we did discuss that. We talked about how at some point there may be some Chinese burnout or any language burnout based on having taken the language for so many years, and that may affect someone's choice as to what language, a child's choice as to what language he or she may want to choose when continuing on in beyond fifth grade, in sixth grade and on. One of the things I do want to bring to everyone's attention is that the enrollment in Chinese is picking up even in our middle school levels. At Peelby Middle School for the next year. We actually have, I think it's, right now it's projected to be over 20 students who've signed up for the sixth grade class. So we've already started the class at Matlin Middle School for students to continue on, and we will have another class coming up at Matlin Middle School as well, so sixth and seventh grade. And at Peelby Middle School, we're actually forming a pretty nice-sized group that's going to be continuing to grow as well. So we're seeing growth on the secondary level with that respect. But on the other hand, with the fifth grade class that we teach, our kind of exploratory class where they actually have Spanish, French, and Chinese, they get exposure to each one. We're actually looking at different ways where in working with the Chinese teachers at our regular department meetings every month, we're actually exploring different ways where we can actually change things up a bit in terms of the curriculum and actually try to encourage more students to sign up.
Yeah, I also just want to commend the committee. I know technology has been something that we've talked about, and it seems that even if there was varying viewpoints, one of the common themes for everybody was to try to find ways at all the different grades, and I just want to commend the committee for the work. So, thank you.
So, yep, thanks for having nine options and meeting only three times. It's pretty impressive. So, but I had a question if something came up too about, and I was just playing around, and I'm not great with data in 5 seconds, but the elementary schools are on a trimester, but was there ever anything looked at maybe doing like a flex by trimester and going deeper in like on a trimester basis? So if maybe doing Mandarin deep in one trimester, technology deep, and then alternating it maybe with an art in one trimester, maybe alternating it with a music in another trimester, technology, art. Did anything like that come up?
Or no.
No. I mean, again, I know we also have a 6-day cycle. Was anything talked about I don't want to alternate
No, I mean, we looked at the 6-day cycle. The way we looked at the 6-day cycle was, you know, more on the 5-day cycle to look at how that would fit in. But no, nothing like that. Again, you know, I think one of the things was the proficiency level. What are kids right. going to exit with? And that's more, even if you did it like on a trimester, I think it was, you know, you kind of look at model number 2 had a little bit of, I think it's model number 3 actually, Lauren, when you had the kids going for 2 tech periods a month, 2 Chinese periods a month.
Right.
But that was for grades 3 and 4. And I do want to applaud the librarians in this because a lot of the discussion was about technology. And the library, you know, we didn't want to take away from the genuine love of reading and the promotion of books and kids selecting books and, you know, coming to the library to learn, you know, that a lot of the librarians incorporate the language arts curriculum as part of their studies as well. So we didn't want to take away from that. But the librarians really expressed that they have become more the instructional technology people in the building. So they are looking themselves, even prior to creating this committee, of ways to enhance the library curriculum to incorporate that technology, those technology pieces. I mean, a lot of times, most of the librarians have 16 to 20 sections of students, so that leaves 10 periods out of their schedule to meet with classes. So teachers will bring their students down for research or to use the Chromebooks. I shouldn't say Chromebooks. They're not Chromebooks, but the laptops and things like that, or go in the computer lab to help students. So the librarians are currently doing some of that. But again, they only have 10 additional periods, and with folding in the kindergarten center next year, that will be even less,
right?
Because they'll be picking up four more sections to be able to meet those classes. The other piece that came across from the teachers was the teachers' own ability, their knowledge of technology, enable their ability to instruct students in the use of technology. And teachers felt that was very inconsistent from teacher to teacher, school to school. And so they really felt that the same teacher delivering those elements of the technology curriculum, you know, would be more helpful than one teacher and the librarian and being sporadic.
Yeah, thank you. I think part of the problem we had with the Chinese program that after years we talked about was really the curriculum had not changed much from year to year. And in all reality, it was more about the culture. As opposed to having conversational Chinese, the kids could come home and actually show or speak to their parents in a different language. With when you're doing Spanish or French, that's really what you're doing. You're having conversational language. And I think that, I know when I was in school in Connecticut, Spanish was started in kindergarten. And around the water fountain, every place you went, they had the word and you spoke it. And somebody would come in once in a while and you'd learn a couple of new vocabulary words. But by the time you got to seventh grade, you're proficient in a language. And the reason was you didn't see it written, you just had spoken it. And I think that I would love to see Spanish have that opportunity for us to develop it to be that it's a conversational language that the children are learning. Chinese, I'm sorry. And when you talk about it, and you're talking about the colors and the numbers and my name is and where I live and things like that, I remember when it first came, people were excited their kids could look at a Chinese menu and figure out some of the characters and what it was. And I just think that when you hear what other countries do and everything else, I think that I would like to see us try to do this a little bit. I think that, and I want to applaud the committee because I know it's very hard when it's a split committee. And sometimes we have to change. We have a good idea, but we just have to change it to meet the needs of the people today. And while I like the idea of adding some technology and everything else, our kids are in front of technology all day long, one way or another, and especially as they get into third and fourth grade and they have their own cell phone and their own tablets and their own iPads and everything else, it would be nice to turn this all off for maybe 20 minutes or something and learn a language, learn how to communicate with each other, looking eye to eye, have a conversation, and see body language. I just think that we can add an excitement to it also. But just thank you so much for what you did. I appreciate the committee.
To respond to that, actually, we're at the third meeting, and also prior to that, at our department meetings every month with the Chinese teachers, we've actually begun discussions about the elementary program and how, you know, working within the 6-day cycle, you know, we get pretty much like anywhere from 25 to 30 lessons a year. We're actually trying to actually do more interpersonal speaking, where, you know, it's going to be more interactional, where students speak to each other. We're going to try to train students to have them have conversations with each other, and actually not just build on, you know, a question and a response, but actually scaffold our way up to where students can actually have longer conversations, more extended conversations with questions and responses. So that's going to be one of our biggest goals for next year. And when we actually look at the curriculum again, that was actually something that came up at more than one of the sessions during the curriculum.
Actually using technology where they can almost see students in grade level classes in China, what's going on, you know, pen pals and things like that, where you started a very small thing, but something builds on it and it creates an excitement.
Ginger, you mentioned, you know, through the years and the curriculum kind of being a little bit repetitive, perhaps. I know the Chinese teachers have worked with the different chair people to really define what the curriculum is in first grade, second grade, but there is going to be overlap and some repetition.
Oh, I don't think, Jill, that's what it was. I think, as a matter of fact, you probably were one of the people who started to change it, is when it came to our attention that it basically was the exact same curriculum year after year, and then we understood what was going on.
But I think that's also been a double-edged sword right now, because there are many parents that spoke very favorably of the curriculum, and what that, in fact, we received, Dr. Lewis and I, a number of emails from parents when they heard that a committee was being formed.
We all got them.
Not to, you know, eliminate the program.
So to be fair, you guys really did a great job a couple of years ago. You know, we had a big discussion about Chinese, and we invested in it. We said we'd put it in the high school and the middle school, and the curriculum was changed. And I think one of the things I think we got to stress is we actually have it taking root now in the middle school level, which was the overall goal, I thought, a few years ago when we talked about this, was how can we make the Chinese go beyond just this thing the kids see for a few years and forget. And I can't compliment people enough that it's finally getting some traction. The proof is the kids are taking the course in the middle school, which is, you know, what we wanted. So I like all these ideas. I don't want to see us undo something that's getting traction, but infusing it in the culture of the buildings, I don't think that's something we ever really did or I heard talked about. And that, to me, is a very different kind of way to make it a little more fun and interesting for the kids and also encourage where it's going. And I don't think that's a very difficult thing to do if everyone buys into it. And then you can integrate it into some other lessons as well, making sure when you do world history, you spend a little bit more time on Chinese culture. When you're talking about things, you can talk about the influence of these things. You know, a lot of kids, when do they learn that pasta came from China? I have no idea when we teach it, but it's just one of those fun facts that you get to tell people about. So I admire the work that's been done here, and I'm a big tech guy, and I love having technology, but I don't like it instead of something that's finally getting traction. I just like seeing the thing we get traction getting better. And I love these examples of infusing in the building. I thought that was really great how that came out. And I just think no matter what we do, we should do that part because I love
it. I want to be fair to the parent that sat on the committee. Again, they came to represent their schools, and some of them responded, again, very favorably, while others did not. So I did have a conversation with Kathy Ray, you know, after the committee, and I know some parents were disappointed in the recommendations, although I don't believe they really voiced that throughout the committee. But this was a way to kind of meet everyone's needs. And again, these are suggestions of activities and things that can be done. The elementary principals have already met to talk about these suggestions, and we're pretty excited about infusing them within the school culture. So again, it will be our responsibility, if you accept the recommendations, to ensure that they take place. And they take place at every school, not just some of the schools.
I, too, wanted to thank everybody on the committee, and I also want to say that as a district, I think we do value our Chinese program and our Chinese teachers. I am not quite sure. Which option are you recommending?
So it's not any – it's really option 10.
Okay. So option 10, that isn't there. Tell us.
It's really just the recommendation. So we took the feedback and by looking at all the options and kind of breaking them down into smaller chunks or different time periods, in the end, we recommended keeping Chinese as is, once in the six-day cycle for 45 minutes, and also bringing in an instructional technology person to address the components of the instructional tech that we see is needed, particularly for students in grades 3 and 4, and then the librarian would address the instructional technology components for grades 1 and 2 within the library curriculum.
And where would the person who I guess is pushing in terms of technology, where would that come out of the day?
So it would be pushed in, it would be part of the student's instructional day. So like we used to do for Enrichment for All, we would say, you know, this for grade 3, you know, we're going to be here to do these lessons. And in that way, the principal set up the time with the staff member to coordinate the schedule and what met the needs of that building at that time.
Okay, and classroom teachers
would
are
be involved in
okay
those lessons. Yep.
In terms of giving up 20 minutes or
it
whatever
would be
time
probably
it is
longer than 20 minutes sessions, half hour.
Okay.
Could be 45 minutes depending on what the skill is. I mean, it could be if you're creating a PowerPoint based on a project you just did in class, you know, you want kids to be able to spend time to
sure
do that. So again, that would be coordinated through the building principal. And yes, the teachers that represented the staff on the committee felt very strongly that that was an excellent recommendation.
Okay,
thank you. And would provide equity across the district in terms of the skill level and that the time, right, the skills, and the delivery of that instruction.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify that, so we're not doing this, what was it, 20-minute burst? What was this thing here?
Push right, it's one of the
Chinese, yeah.
The 20-minute boost.
Boost, thank you, sorry.
So that, again, is not a definite. That was one of the items to explore to see how could we look at that again and to see if that could fit in at perhaps different times in the month. Again, these are not a promise. These were suggestions of how to look at the more intentional use of the language.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, I have to express, because, yeah, like Debbie, I was a little unclear on what exactly was being proposed here. I guess I'm a little disappointed that there wasn't going to be more of the frequency in terms of, yeah, of actually increasing some proficiency. You know, but this was sort of the will of the committee.
Yeah, you know, I really thought, you know, Dr. Chen has presented the research, mm-hmm, around, yeah, the frequency, and that's been discussed many times, not only within this committee, but at the PTA curriculum meetings. But this did not carry over through.
Yeah,
the
I understand that
did
there
not
were
get any legs
on
here
on the committee. I mean, you know, just in terms of my own, you know, feelings about this, you know, I happen to be somebody who, you know, strongly supports having foreign language at younger ages, and there's all kinds of research, not only about language development, but about cognitively the fact that you have to shift perspectives. Oh, I have to talk this way to this teacher and this way to another teacher has all kinds of brain benefits. But yes, I understand that, you know, when you're dealing with multiple perspectives, you know, you have to.
I think, you know, when you look, yes, at this, that, you could look at it, you know, why will are the teachers willing to give up time for the instructional technology but not the push in Chinese? And I think it was like with the instructional technology that was more embedded within a project or something the kids were learning within the class, where the 3 or the 2 20 minutes were considered like more interruption and how stopping kids, starting them, the organization of that, they did not feel that would benefit students at this time.
Okay, my question might be a little bit off topic, but you know, I'm hearing that as a district we're hoping, well, no, not totally off topic. One of the things I'm hearing is that we're hoping, you know, we're encouraged by the increasing enrollment in the Mandarin program in sixth grade. And have we ever looked at, right now, the middle school kids have to choose their language at the end of Q2. And for some kids, they haven't taken Chinese yet. Some of them have only taken one language if they start out with tech in Q1 or Q2. And I don't know what this would entail from a scheduling perspective, but are the kids who've taken Chinese already in Q1 or Q2, when they're asked to decide what they want to focus on, more likely to enroll in Chinese and would possibly waiting a little longer? And again, I don't know what kind of chaos this would cause from an administrative perspective.
So let me just already jump there. We've already had this discussion with the middle school curriculum committee of actually having kids choose their language in seventh grade. Well, at the end of sixth for seventh. And we actually would have done a presentation tonight as part of this whole conversation about Chinese. Mr. Donnarumo's here tonight. He's been a part of this conversation for the past 2 years of how we look at the delivery of language instruction in the middle school and kids choosing after, I think it's, doesn't it come out to be an eighth, Chris?
Correct.
An eighth of a unit of Spanish, an eighth of French. So our proposal, and we'll talk about this next year, will be a quarter of, well, actually half year Chinese, half year French, half year Spanish, and then they choose after the third quarter, having had more time with each of the three languages. But it impacts music a little bit in the delivery, and I wanted to wait until we had a new music director. And I want to be clear on this. Mr. Galbert has been part of this conversation from 2 years ago. So, you know, we had his blessing in looking at the delivery of this. And again, it's just the timing of it and at this point, let's get through this. Roll out that new Chinese class at POV Middle School. Let's get it have, you know, some legs, and then meet with the new music director.
Okay, so I want to try to summarize what I think you're asking us as the recommendation. Okay, so we're going to keep Chinese on a 1 out of 6 day cycle. Mm-hmm. We're going to enhance the offerings, thinking of, you know, just bringing it up, keeping it fresh, more each year building. We're going to infuse Chinese culture throughout the building so that it has a little bit more stickiness as a subject area and the kids get it beyond just the 1 out of 6 days. It's an overall exposure. We're going to create other opportunities to infuse Mandarin into other parts of the curriculum where it fits in, and I'll leave it up to you guys to figure that out. We're going to increase the STEAM position to a 1.0, and it's, from what I can gather, it's going to look like what the Enrichment for All program used to look like, with STEAM lessons coming into the different classrooms spread throughout the building. And then we're going to enhance the current technology in the library for the first and second graders, where they'll get a little bit more technology, which of course will be age appropriate and grade level.
Exactly.
Have I summarized it pretty well?
Yeah, I think also when you look at the STEAM teacher, you know, when you're looking at instructional tech and STEAM, a lot of those skills overlap. Yes.
Cool. So, do we have to do anything about this or just say come back with more? Right.
So if you were to accept the recommendation at this point in time, that 0.6 is not on any of the staffing lists and wouldn't be needed, and it's about a $68,000 position.
All right. So are we good on this for now, guys? Good job. Thank you very much to all who participated. We appreciate it. Let's see.
My own personal feeling is that I would like to include it as part of our budget, because if we don't, then we can't move ahead with it if that's what we decide. I'd still like to hear from anybody in the community that has anything to add.
But putting the STEAM person in there.
Right? In the money in the budget, yes.
But should we just segue right into the modifications list since it got opened up there? So.
Thank you.
And now we'll go right into the modifications.
This is our third list. We have had, this is our fifth board meeting, I think. Sixth board meeting on the budget. Yes, next year we have four because of the holidays. So, but we have had modifications from the superintendent's budget. And tonight we hope to have the board adopted budget by the end of the evening. So in between modification list B and modification list C, we received the good news of state aid, so that allowed us some more flexibilities in how we approach the budget adoption. I remind you that we are in a situation where our tax levy cap is at 0.25. So 0.25 is not a lot of money. But we did receive in revenue, on the revenue side, a considerable amount of state aid, partly due to the fact that the GEA was eliminated. So the GEA, which is over $1 million, was eliminated, and that's a boost to our revenue, and that allowed us to do some more flexibilities and still stay below the cap. So tonight, when we ended last meeting, we ended at zero for the levy, But that was, even with zero on the levy, our budget to budget was 2%. So that 2% you can think of as almost equivalent to our state aid. And now it's the board's decision to take us to the end.
So I think, Deb, we'll start where we just left off in the section before, which is adding the breakage for the steam.
Okay, so I will put it on. No. I will make a motion to add the, what is it, 0.5? I thought we said 0.5.
Well, I mean, we do have some breakage positions already in the budget, so I don't know, you wouldn't have to necessarily take...
Keep it at a round number for simplicity's sake at 0.5.
Okay.
And
there you go. Anyone want to second that? Any further discussions? All those in favor?
So just so the public understands, the recommendation is a 0.6. The board is recommending that in the budget for now, the addition is a 0.5.
Correct.
With the use of a 0.1 from breakage.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. We also had an item that was on the list last year. It was
this
for the Matlin, last week, the Matlin fitness room. It was $14,000. We got some clarification. The number is actually $16,000 when they took everything into account. Do we have a motion for that? Or motion then discussion.
Well, wouldn't we need a motion for the whole $16,000? Because
that's
we
what
didn't
I'm saying. I'm
it.
Saying to
right.
make a motion for 16 instead of 14.
Right.
Right.
So you have to make it 16.
Yeah.
Seth? Emily? Any discussions on
well,
that?
Well, I just have a question. Last week I had asked, do we need the same thing for POB Middle School? So. Can you tell us what you looked into and found out?
Less we have inequities. Now, certainly, long term, I think that would be a good plan to move to put the same equipment in POB Middle School. But as we plan for the budget and be mindful of what POB Middle School has, I think that we could put it into Matlin because. In the Matlin situation, we are actually disturbing an area, moving some equipment over to the kindergarten center, what used to be the kindergarten center, to become the wrestling room. So now you've got an area that needs to be redone, updated to match the needs of the children who are at Matlin. So. Because of that, I would say for this year, we put it into this year's budget and then plan to put it into next year. I'm being very mindful that we don't, you know, we have a 0.25 cap. Even though we do have extra monies, we do have a 0.25 cap. So I see the priority more for this year at Matlin because of our disturbing that space and needing to bring that space into useful, being purposeful about what the kids will be using at Matlin next year. So that's what I would recommend. Do it for Matlin this year and then plan for POB the following year.
One of the things that I want to note is that Matlin already has some of this equipment. So they have some of the elliptical machines. They have the weights. And this would spread what they currently have out a little bit and then enhance it. So when we look at POB Middle School, if the board were to accept your recommendation, we would look at what they would need, which might be a little bit different than what Matlin needs right now. Some of the equipment was paid for by SNAP for Matlin.
Oh, right. Okay, so then I'm comfortable doing it that way.
Okay. So all those in favor of the $16,000 for phys ed gear for Matlin? Good. Making good progress.
I was wondering if we could talk about the Twilight program, because one of the concerns I had was that we talked about perhaps forming a committee to discuss how to implement it, rather than sort of, I'm wondering whether it's sort of good to go in September and how we should be handling this.
Yeah, I just want to say I agree with Emily, and maybe, you know, we might not start it in September, but if we can start having a real committee meeting now, we could have a designated later date, but I just think that there's things we have to iron out, and I want the program to really succeed.
But you're
not taking it out of the
budget.
You're
not
talking about taking it out of the
no.
budget because we don't know where we'll be with discussions.
Right.
Okay, that makes total sense.
just clarifying that it's not a done deal, that a committee is going to come to us, and we kind of have a worst-case funding, we think, in the budget. We think we can do it possibly more economically, but we'll have to see, because we don't know what the rates are going to be yet for the teachers either. Okay. One of the things that we discussed a lot over the aid that we're getting back is how much of it is continuing, how much is it just potentially in 1 year, would we get it the next year, will we get it and not get it, what kind of games will be played. So it got me thinking, you know, is there perhaps a project we could do, you know, this year that was a project where, you know, it would enhance the schools and enhance the community, but be something that the following year, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about if the GEA money ended up being reduced or in any format came back. So one of the things I had requested from Rich and the grounds guys was to take Rich and the architects was the new track at POB. POB's track was always far more utilized than the track at the high school, even when it was a really horrible condition track. And I know when they built the track, they pre-laid in conduits, so in case we wanted to add lighting, we could. So I would like to propose that we do just that, that we put in money into this budget to light the track for this year. And if it gets seconded, I'll ask Rich to explain a little bit more on what his findings were. So, Okay, Seth has seconded it. So can you give us a little bit more feedback on that and what the cost would be?
Okay, so we asked the architects and the construction managers to take a look at this and really – instead of doing an in-depth study, this is somewhat of a fairly common project. Other school districts and towns and villages have done this with their facilities as well. So bids for this type of work are coming in at about $160,000. Some of the work in terms of design has already been done because the conduit was laid before the track was installed. So our suggested budget is $187,000 for this project.
So I'd like to make a motion to – oh, we did already. So the amount would be 187. So further discussions. Yes.
What's the height of the lights?
It's going to be slightly above head height. We considered it a walking track. So it's not going to be lit like back here. So somewhere around 8 feet. You know, so it would be above headlight.
They're going to go down, not out.
Right. Right. So it would be projected onto the track and also the entrance onto the track for the parking lot. But it wouldn't be designed so it projects out onto the field because we don't want to encourage the field use during the nighttime hours.
Right. So we would determine the time the lights would go off.
Yes.
Like at the track.
And it would be only for a walking track. It's not to light fields. It's for to extend to the community the track
for
longer.
Safety.
And I guess, you know, Relay for Life could now be under lights as an example. But it's not to light the football field. It's just
that's
walking.
Correct.
And it's
that's
no
correct.
Plan to ever do it either, like that kind of deal we tried to do with the high school way back. It's,
so
it's
the vision is,
so the community
is light posts that you would find along a walkway.
Cool. Further comments? All those in favor? All right. Where does that leave us if you plug all this stuff in? Are we kind of around the number we originally started with as far as tax levy?
Okay, so where this leaves us now is a budget-to-budget increase of 2.19%, tax levy increase of 0.23%, and going down to the bottom left-hand corner, we're $18,106 below our allowable tax levy cap.
That's pretty good numbers. Does anyone have any other things they want to discuss on the modifications list? All right, so do we make a motion to doing new business? We'll make a motion to accept this as.
Can I see the actual budget?
Sure. Okay, I was going to write it down for you and bring it over.
Okay, This brings us to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process of those or others could be in some way violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We ask that everyone be respectful and kind. And also, I'd just like to apologize at the last meeting. I understand some people still wanted to speak, but What we used to do typically was people would just line up, you know, like on the side of the wall if they wanted to speak. So if you could, that'll help me a lot to know that someone still wants to go next. So the floor is open.
Hi. Donna Lupia, 317 Carnation Drive, Farmingdale. I was one of the parents who served on the 6-day special committee. I represented Old Beth Page. I will agree that opinions are all over the place. So if you ask me to say, well, what could I wish for? I couldn't say that because I represented my building. My building's opinion went from every end of the spectrum. So with that being said, I did have some concerns that I shared at the meeting, and I just wanted to share here as well. I think, first of all, parents are confused about what the purpose of the Chinese is. Is it cultural? Is it, are we looking for fluency? What is the goal of Chinese? What was it? What is it going to be? I really think that we need to communicate that with parents so that we can help first take the step in managing people's expectations, because some are expecting them to be able to order at the Chinese restaurant and they can't. So if we can, you know, agree with that first. My other concern is if it is proficiency, as Dr. Chan had explained, proficiency, we need 3 times a week, we need 90 minutes a week. Even with all of the enhancement that we are putting into the program, we still would be nowhere near there. So, you know, are we offering Chinese light? Are we, you know, if we decide that this is what we're doing, are we doing this effectively? And why that concerns me the most is because then we look at the fact that if we're giving it to them for 4 years, and then in middle school, they're doing their middle school thing of saying, I'm done with that, I don't want to do Chinese anymore, are we sacrificing children opting to take Chinese in middle school and going on to learn a very important language in their futures just because we want to be able to say that we're offering it, but we're not really offering it the way that we should? And I hope I'm expressing what I'm feeling here, is because I do believe in Chinese, and I think it's wonderful for our children to be able to have this opportunity. And if anybody could leave the high school being proficient in Chinese, I think that would be amazing to say that our district can accomplish that. But I feel like we're almost cutting our chances. And yes, we have an increased enrollment in the middle school, but if you look at the overall numbers, it's a small fraction. Kids are just not picking this language in comparison to French and Spanish. So I don't have the answers. I'm not an educator. I never pretended to be. But those are my concerns about what we came up with from the committee. And I thank you all for giving us the opportunity to express that.
Thank you. Sharon Levine, 24 Eva Lane, Plainview. It's Sharon Levine, 24 Eva Lane in Plainview. I was also on the committee. I echo everything Donna said. I represented Pasadena. We spoke about the Chinese program. We've spoken about it a lot at Pasadena, and we're less mixed as a school, I think, than some others. We, as a unit, pretty much across the board at meetings, came down unfavorably. For the Chinese program, we had a third grade teacher, speak at our last meeting, who spoke about some of the things that would be lost in the third grade curriculum if we were to add push-ins for the Chinese program. And as a unit, we were not in favor of losing that instructional time to add more Chinese. As a parent, again, who was on the committee, my concern was that one of the options that we really didn't talk about a whole lot was in lessening the amount of Chinese learned in the elementary schools, not making increases in favor of more instructional technology or anything else. Again, you know, like Donna, I'm not an educator, also never pretended to be, but as a parent, that's my concern. I have 2 children, and just speaking for myself, not as my as a unit, they're interested in languages, I'm interested in languages, and we talked a lot on a recent vacation about languages and words that we know and things that we know. And my children were talking in Spanish, and they were talking in French, and they were showing me the sign language that they remembered from you know, from their kindergarten experience, and I asked them if they could say yes and no in Chinese, and both of them, even the fifth grader who took Chinese as part of their fifth grade curriculum, had absolutely no idea how to say yes and no, but they could say post office. So just as a parent, that was a frustration for me. But that again, is just my own experience. So that was my takeaway. But I do appreciate being able, as a parent, to serve on that kind of a committee and represent my unit.
Thank you, and thank you for doing that.
Hi, Hillary Starr, 23 Cranford Lane, Plainview. I was also a part of the committee. I think the committee was a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. I think this has been something that's been discussed for as many years as I've been involved, 7, 8 years with PTA and the curriculum committees. To have three meetings to talk about this, I think, was a little ridiculous. So many things came up. Each meeting, it was like round and bout, roundabout, roundabout. I mean, you saw how many options were given. I would have preferred to have a chance to survey all the parents in the district and say, what is truly your preference? Do you want language taught? If so, which language? We never had that discussion at the meetings. I know I was representing Parkway, and we haven't really discussed that at Parkway PTA meetings because we don't get a large turnout. So when I was speaking, I was basically expressing my opinions as a parent, as a former language educator. I talked a lot about what Ginger said with learning Spanish and how it might be a little easier and the kids can gain proficiency with that. I just feel like this should not be the end of this discussion, that more information is needed from the parents. And also, as a parent, to sit at the table with the teachers and the administrators and look into the eyes of Mrs. Firestein, who has put her blood, sweat, and tears into this program to create, you know, what it is now, which is a great program on paper. I mean, it was very hard. And, I mean, I think everyone was respectful to each other, but, you know, it was hard sitting across the table and you know, to be negative about it. So just take that as food for thought. Thanks.
Morty Rosenfeld, let me just raise this a little bit. President of Plainview Congress of Teachers. Several thoughts occur, but I really rose to bring to the board's attention a comment that Ms. Feistein made to me as a previous speaker was at the mic, upset by the fact that her kids haven't learned and remembered the words for yes and no. It turns out there are no words in Chinese for yes and no, and that may well be the reason why they don't remember them. But it's an example of the kind of misunderstandings and misapprehensions that have existed about this program from the get-go. It had unreasonable expectations to begin with. It was very poorly resourced from the beginning. But what my colleagues who actually do the teaching have done is to make something essentially out of nothing that's really fine and first rate. And I appreciate the comments of the board members tonight about the program. If, however, there is a sentiment in the community for broadening the exposure of young people to foreign languages, no one I represent would be against that, but we have to recognize that that's a serious undertaking, which incidentally I learned places out in the boondocks of America are light years ahead of us. For example, at an NEA conference I attended last year, I met a fellow from a small town in Michigan, population about 10,000. They start foreign language instruction in the first grade, part of a kid's instruction in math is done in the foreign language. The kids by the end of middle school are pretty proficient in the language. They've made a real significant commitment to doing that. There are places all over this country where that's going on. Plainview has had somewhat of a xenophobic response to thoughts like that. If we're serious about it, I can help you get a whole bunch of people excited about that, and we could have a real elementary foreign language program. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on something Mr. Rosenfeld said when a number of years ago I went to China, and that is how they teach English in China through immersion. And, you know, we went to visit a school in China, a high school, and we were asked, those of us who want to go to visit an English class. So I thought it was going to be the same way that we teach foreign language here, but in fact it was a literature class taught in English. So I understand exactly what you're saying.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. In reviewing the agenda for this evening, I have two questions. On 7.16, we're appointing a proctor. In what school would that individual be working, and what are his duties? Okay, because this could, you know, a proctor, there are several definitions of proctor, and I'd be curious to find out what this is exactly. On item 8.3, we're signing a contract with Union Free School District, the Union Free School District, provide 58 students with health and welfare services. Are those our students going to Uniondale or vice versa? I'd like a better explanation on that. Thank you.
We have a motion for... Oh, I'm sorry. Does anyone else like to get up? Okay, thank you very much. We'll now close public participation. Do we have a motion for routine business? Ginger? Emily? Any hold separations discussions? All those in favor of routine business? And would you like to explain to Mr. Wolfner the open issues?
7.16 is the appointment of a teacher sub to proctor advanced placement exams, SAT exams, and ACT exams throughout the school year. So we have AP exams coming up. They'll help proctor those exams during the school day.
Is that an additional individual, or is that one individual?
It's an additional assignment for this for this person, yes.
Docket 8.3 has to do with payment of health services to the Uniondale School District, the private schools of Hank Uniondale High School and Kellenberg High School fall within Uniondale School District bounds. 43 students go to Hank Uniondale and 15 go to Kellenberg. We're responsible for paying their portion of the health and welfare services. Our services going there. Our students going there.
And just some of the things that we want to spend a little time just clarifying for people. 8.1 is two new scholarships that were set up on behalf of the Josh Goldberg Memorial Award. Would you like to?
Jill, would you like to put that?
Mr. Galbert's family has requested that we establish two scholarships, one in Josh's name and one in his brother's name. Prior to Mr. Galbert's passing, he had actually met with Lori Lynn, our guidance director, to discuss the opportunity to give a scholarship in his brother's name for his brother's 50th birthday. And his brother had a love of music as well. And then after Josh's passing, his wife had met with us and asked that we continue Josh's wishes to honor his brother and then again Josh. So they've established a fund For the first year, I believe it's two $2,500 scholarships the first year, and then some money to set aside for future scholarships in their name. And I know our music department is working toward creating, sustaining some of those scholarships as well.
Deeply missed, and he would leave some very big shoes to fill.
Absolutely.
Also, Mr. Mulleri, could you tell us about 7.2? So by action of the Board of Education this evening, we've appointed a new assistant to the superintendent. Our current assistant to the superintendent has accepted a job in another district, and through the interview process, Mr. Christopher Donnarumo will assume those responsibilities. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. And now new business. Okay, there is 11.1 is approval of BOE meetings for the 2016-17 school year. And I just want to make sure we do the right schedule.
Yes, the correct schedule is in Porta.
Okay.
So if you downloaded prior to, if you downloaded the schedule prior to today, it was changed today. My son is getting married October 15th. I think I'm going to be a little busy. So I moved, I asked the board's permission to move the October meeting to October 24th. Should we still would have two meetings in the month and we'll be fine.
Okay.
Just a week.
So
later.
All those in,
thank you.
I have a motion to approve the schedule. Ginger, Debbie, discussion anymore? All those in favor? All right. We have adoption of two new policies. I think those should be read off and recommended by someone on the policy committee. So.
Yes.
Seth, would you like to make the motion?
Yeah, make a motion to adopt two policies. Policy number 3272 regarding unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs or drones. And the second is an adult code of conduct. These are two policies that we've spoken about.
Really?
Sorry. These are two policies that we've spoken about before, and I think the comments or feedback that we got were either non-existent or totally favorable to the extent you define that existent as
or holy
totally
cow,
favorable.
You're having a drone policy.
So,
I'd like to second that.
All those in favor? Oh, well, further discussions? All those in favor? All right. Additional staff development proposals. Do I have a motion? Ginger. Seth. Discussion. All those in favor? Okay. Next, we have approval of the property tax report card for the... skipped one. Recommendations to approve the appointment of Mr. Mark Hamron to the position of community member of the audit committee for the remainder of the term. If we get a motion,
I'll make a motion.
And a second. Jody, we had a community member who was on the audit committee who had to step down because it just conflicts with his work schedule. So we've replaced him with Mr. Hamron. All those in favor? Okay, approval of the property tax report card for the 2016-17 school year. Do we need to have that go up somewhere? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Motion? Well, Lauren? And someone who's not Ginger, who's been on every single one.
Would you like to see what you're voting
on? Ginger.
Let's see what you're looking at. So with the changes you made today, the one that was the draft that was posted, it still says draft on it, but I revised the draft to reflect the changes you just made. So the top line should equal your, let me see if I can make this a little larger, current budget number, current tax levy number, and the amount we're below the allowable tax levy cap. All right, down below is some information on our projected fund balance and reserves entering into 16-17.
Okay, do I have a motion? I did that.
Did that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor? Okay. I'll read it because it's been handed in front of me. So this is the resolution for the adoption of the 2016-17 school district budget. During the past several months, we have made numerous modifications to the 2016-17 superintendent's budget. April 11, 2016 is scheduled as the district's budget adoption meeting. The business office recommends the following resolution related to 2016-17 budget. Here's the resolution. The Board of Education adopts the 2016 school budget in the amount of $149,236,325 with a corresponding tax levy of $119,990,212. I made the motion. Does someone want to second it? Emily, further discussions? I just want to compliment this all on it. Oh, yeah. Okay. All those in favor? Cool. It's like my first day, right? Like to just compliment everyone on their efforts to this, all the staff members who worked on it, Rich, your office, and the business office, as well, of course, as can't do it without personnel and curriculum as well. So a very good job by everyone. Superintendent's budget, thank you very much. I think we came in at a tax levy limit that, you know, is ridiculous that we have to live with it, but we found out a way to do it. We have maintained the programs that we value so much in this district, and I think we've been pretty fair to our taxpayers as well. So kudos to us on that. And don't forget to vote May 17th.
17th.
May 17th. Don't forget to vote.
Don't vote on the 19th. Vote on the staff working.
And then we have one more. Two more? Okay. Okay. Next, we have a resolution to settlement agreement concerning student identified on confidential school schedule A. So I have a motion. Ginger, Jody, discussions? All those in favor?
One additional resolution.
Yep.
I'd like to read this. The Board of Education hereby approves the agreement relating to the employee referenced in confidential Schedule A and authorizes the President of the Board to sign the agreement on behalf of the Board of Education.
Do I have a motion to amend the agenda to add what Debbie just read? Debbie? Lauren? All those in favor of amending the agenda to add the resolution that you just read? We got to raise our hands now. All those in favor of amending? Okay. And now?
Now I'll make a motion on the resolution I just read.
Second, Lauren? Further discussions? All those in favor? All right. Do I have a motion to go in? Up.
Just as a point of information, next Tuesday is primary day. Polls will be open from 6 to 9. Please make sure that you do your constitutional thing and vote.
Okay, do I have a motion to go into executive session for matters of personnel? Emily, Debbie, all those in favor? And we'll see you next week. I won't be here, but everyone else will. Bye.